Now let's turn to God's Word. We're reading from Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 14 through 18. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew's brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. So reads God's Word. Let's bow together in prayer, please. Father, we thank you that when we gaze upon the person and work of Christ, that our souls are thrilled and our hearts are filled with praise and thanksgiving to God for sending a Son into this world to be our Savior. And as we come now, Father, to consider the gospel, we pray that we might continue to know the presence of God in our midst, and that we might be granted that help that is so necessary, that help in the Spirit this evening, that we might have that ministry, not only for the preacher, but for those who listen to the word, so that in all of our lives, your will might be done. And Father, that souls might be saved and Christ exalted, in whose name we pray. Amen. Each time I come to proclaim the gospel of redeeming grace, I very much keep in mind that for those of us who have the privilege and the responsibility to preach the gospel, that it is for us vitally important that we bear in mind that there are two very important elements to be emphasized in this message. And then alongside of that, I think for those who hear the gospel, there are two very important aspects of this message to be considered. And on both counts, I'm thinking of the call and the challenge of the gospel. Tonight in Mark chapter 1, we have read of a call that was issued. A call that was most compelling and to which there was a very positive response on the part of those who heard this call. We have read of how that the Lord Jesus Christ, during his Galilean ministry whilst here on earth, he calls out to two men. And we have learned how that in reading the Word of God, these men responded, all of which has much to say to us, and certainly a great deal to teach us. So as we make our way through the account of this particular incident before us, I want to begin by inviting you to consider with me simply the invitation received. The invitation received. Jesus' call, you'll notice, was very simple. There was nothing complicated or confusing about this call that the Lord Jesus Christ issues on this occasion. For Mark records for us the words of Christ, which simply were, "Come ye after me," or "Come you and follow after me." You see, here was an invitation that was given to these men from none less than the Savior himself. And we can only say that for these men, it most surely was a privilege. What a tremendous, unspeakable privilege it is for the individual, man or woman, young person, to hear the call of God in the gospel. Sometimes in the journey through life, we meet certain personalities and even celebrities, and some people put a great value on the fact that they have been in contact with such, and they have engaged in conversation with such. But let me say again that when God chooses in grace and in mercy to speak to the individual, my, that is a privilege beyond all privileges. During the days when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, there were those, of course, who didn't give him the honor he was due. And as a result, there were many who did not wish to hear him. However, on the other hand, there were those who longed to hear him and who longed to learn from him. And as a result, when we read through the account of Christ's earthly ministry in the Gospels, we discover that he comes into contact with a great variety of people. He makes contact with many, many people. And as he makes contact with the different people, we find that he has something to say to all kinds of people. He has something to communicate to people from all walks of life and from every level of society. On this occasion, he speaks to some hard-working fishermen. And for them, perhaps it was to them a great surprise that the Lord Jesus Christ would have something to say to them. And so we find that it was not only surely a surprise to them, but they must have been filled certainly with a great sense of privilege that the Lord Jesus Christ should stop and speak to them. Jesus is passing by these group of men, this group of men, and he has something to speak into their lives. And yet, sometimes when we read in the Gospels of incidents like this, we feel that we're very far removed from that. And we can say, yes, I agree with the preacher tonight. For these people that Jesus Christ came into contact with, it was for them a very special privilege. But let me say tonight that the same Lord Jesus Christ is still doing the same thing today. We're not that far removed from this incident before us this evening. Because let me tell you that as Jesus passes by from time to time, we discover that he stops and he speaks all in the circumstances of life, in the upsets of life that come our way, in the tragedies that we face from time to time, in the difficulties that we come into, when like these men, we are engaged in the things of everyday life. And yes, even in meetings like this. We discover that the Lord Jesus Christ is still passing by. He still stops and he still speaks into hearts and lives. And when that happens, it most certainly is a tremendous privilege. And yet I wonder, do we, as we should, do we fully realize the privilege that this is? Maybe as you reflect in your life, maybe as you recall meetings like this, perhaps over a period of years, maybe even over a lifetime, you can say, yes, I've had that sense of privilege. I have heard the voice of God speak to me through the preaching of the gospel. But the point that I want to make is, and the question I need to ask, have you realized fully, indeed as you should, the tremendous privilege that has been afforded to you? When he spoke to these men, he spoke to them in such a way that gave them a sense of privilege, and they realized it. But not only did he speak to them and give them thus a sense of privilege, but I find that when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to these men, he spoke to them in a way that was very personal. These men may have considered themselves, and indeed it is suggested that most likely they did, consider themselves of little or no importance to this great teacher called Jesus. They might have thought of themselves so insignificant that he would hardly give them the second glance. Perhaps they thought he would scarcely even notice them, never mind stop to speak to them. Yet how wrong they were. For Jesus addresses these men in such a personal way. I can almost picture it. He is walking along the shoreline. He sees these men mending their nets, and he directs his gaze and his words toward them, and they know beyond any mistake that Jesus was directing what he was saying to them, his call to them personally. Jesus said simply to them, "Come you and follow me." And when he did, they knew beyond any question, beyond any doubt, that it was to them that he was speaking. Sometimes I meet with people, and I find that they are surprised when I tell them that this same Jesus, the Savior himself, has an interest in them. Sometimes I've spoken to people who are, we might say, on the scrap heap of humanity because of their sinful ways, because of their pursuing wrongful appetites. Their lives are in absolute shambles. They have been reduced to physical and mental and emotional wrecks. And yet in my experience in sharing the gospel with such, I find that when I say, "You know something? Jesus Christ is interested in you," they are totally surprised. And when I tell them that Jesus Christ is interested in you and has something to say to you in a very personal way, they are utterly and absolutely surprised. And yet that is something that I can say tonight. If you're here tonight and you're still outside of Christ, you're still walking on that broad road that leadeth to destruction, yes, you've had the privilege of hearing the call of God in the gospel, and you haven't fully realized the privilege that has been given to you, and you realize that at times God has been speaking to you in the circumstances and experiences of life, but tonight you find that it's very personal. The second thing I want us to see is the involvement relinquished. Now get the picture with me, please. These men, they're mending their nets. They're busy at their everyday work. And suddenly, unexpectedly, they find that Jesus stops. He directs his attention to them and his call to them. And they're absolutely shook to the foundations of their lives, perhaps. But then when I come down to verse 18, I find that there is the involvement relinquished. We read in verse 18 of their response. And that is their response on hearing the call of Christ. We read they forsook their nets. What Mark is telling us here, folks, is that when these men heard the call of Christ, there came to them the realization. Not only was he speaking to them personally, but this call that was being issued to them to follow after him, it demanded action on their part. And I believe that these men responded in a way that spells out recognition in my mind. What I'm saying is that there was recognition on their part, and that was that if they were to respond to and answer this divine call, there were those things which had to be cast to the one side. They saw very clearly, and they understood exactly and fully all that was involved. Let's think about it. They had been occupied all their lives in things that must now be forsaken if they were to follow after Christ. And the more I dwell in thought upon that, I see here, my, what a picture that we're given here of what it really means to follow after Christ. Make no mistake about it. Jesus Christ, He comes and He speaks personally to us and He makes demands. He makes demands. I can remember the man whose ministry I sat under in those early fresh days of my Christian experience. And he oftentimes would use a particular statement or phrase in the course of his preaching of the gospel. And he said, "Let me warn you, you will never drift nor dream your way into salvation, and you will never come to Christ truly without realizing fully all that is involved." I think I hear him say those words. And how very true that was. Jesus Christ does make certain demands upon us. Christ tells us very clearly what we must leave behind, what it is that He demands. And here we have it. If any person will come after Christ, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Those are the terms of discipleship. Those are the demands that Christ makes to you tonight if you are to become one of His followers. He is calling you, He is demanding from you that if you have a desire to respond to this call, you must come wide-eyed, realizing all that is involved. It will mean a leaving of the old life and all its trappings. My friend, be under no illusion that if you were to trust Christ tonight, you will not indeed have any desire, and certainly you should not want to continue with the old life. It is a complete radical change, like I said this morning. It is a breaking away of the old life. It is leaving all of those old things behind, like the beggar man on the side of the road when Christ called him and he followed after Christ. He left all those beggarly elements. And that's what it means to follow after Christ. You see, there is a cost. And I fear that sadly, very often, this is an aspect of gospel preaching that is omitted. There is a cost. Christ demands that we be willing to pay whatever He asks the cost. And these men realized and they recognized what it would mean for them. All that they would have to leave behind. And so must we. There was recognition, but there was also readiness on their part. I've already drawn your attention to verse 18 there. And to the fact how that these men willingly forsook their nets. They left their fishing to follow Christ. You see, on their part, there was real desire to follow Christ. There was real desire for them to respond to His compelling call. They were ready to give up all that it would mean in order that they might follow after Christ. Might I ask someone present tonight, have you this kind of readiness? As you hear the call and feel the challenge of the gospel, not only tonight but in previous nights, let me ask you, are you willing to forsake all that keeps you from, separates you from Christ and begin tonight to follow after Him? Or alas, maybe you're like the young man in the scriptures that we refer to as the rich young ruler. For here I find such a potential picture of this young man coming, not in any casual way, incidentally. It states he comes running up to Christ. He feels the urgency. And he comes and he says, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" There he is. He's out of breath. He's on his knees at the feet of Jesus. And when I read about him, I say, my, what potential, what promise. And then Jesus spells it out, what it would actually mean. And we read that the young man went away sorrowfully. Why? Because on his part there was no true resolve to relinquish all that Christ demanded of him and become a follower of Christ. Maybe you see a parallel in this young man in your life. Maybe you're not like these fishermen. Maybe there hasn't been that readiness. Maybe there's been that hesitation. You've counted the cost, and Jesus has put his finger on whatever or whoever it is in your life that's keeping you, that's separating you from Christ. And you're simply not willing to let go. There's no real resolve in your part to relinquish all to follow Christ. I wonder tonight, if I invited you in this connection, why more than invite you to urge you to in your thoughts come with me to the place called Calvary. And might I invite you to gaze upon that center cross afresh tonight. And to see there the dying form of one who is none less than the Son of God. And to see all the wounds bleeding and the blood trickle down his brow. To hear him groaning in agony. To hear him cry out in anguish of soul, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And to really stay there for a moment. And to catch the whole atmosphere around the cross. And then when you do, and I suggest if you really do, then surely, surely, you will feel compelled to say, were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my soul, my life, my all. I don't care what it costs. I'm willing to relinquish all to follow after Christ. The involvement relinquished. But then there was the immediate response that I want to focus a wee bit more closely on just now. Yes, we have highlighted the words, they forsook their nets. But did you notice as we read through, let's not miss this word, straightway it may be in your translation, or immediately. Immediately, one thing is so very clear, and that is that on having this call issued to them, I don't find any case of debate. There was no debate about this. We don't read where these men gave this matter lengthy discussion. They certainly, I think, we have established fully, they appreciated all that was involved. But I don't see where they considered this was something that they should, oh, well, let's not haste about this. Let's sit down and think this thing through. Let's discuss it. In fact, I find that it is patently clear that time did not permit this, for Jesus actually, Mark tells us, was passing on. He was passing by them. So they couldn't say, well, I'll give it a bit of a thought and I'll talk to the other men and I'll run it past them and I'll see what they think and, no, Jesus was passing. This was their moment of opportunity. This is something that we should be aware of. And that is, my friend, that Satan doesn't care. In fact, he will encourage debate on these things. And yet, while I would be the first to emphasize that we do need to fully understand the gospel, yet there surely comes the point when we have all the facts and all the understanding that is necessary. And going beyond that point is only talking for the sake of it. And a great waste of time that you might not have. I remember many years ago reading about one Sunday evening prior to the great fires of London. The preacher on that occasion preached the gospel very clearly. And in conclusion of his address to the congregation gathered, he urged them to come to Christ. Yes, he did. But he made the great mistake of saying, now you've all the facts, what I want you to do is to go home and to think carefully about what you have heard. History shows that many that night perished in the fires of London. Many out of that very congregation were never seen again. And later on, the preacher, he said, recalling his words, he said, when I told them to go home and give it thought, he said, that was the worst advice I ever gave. My friend, I'm not telling you to go home and think about it. I'm asking you tonight to respond. Maybe you have talked at length to someone in work. Maybe you have entered into great discussion and debate about these things. But surely the time for you to trust Christ is right now, without any further delay. There is danger in delay, as you've seen. But these men of whom Mark refers, they realized fully the situation as it was truly before them. And that was that if they were to ever respond, that was the moment, otherwise they would have sadly missed out. And I say again that some of you might be making, I tell you, the most dangerous mistake of putting it off, this all-important matter of coming to Christ, getting right with God. Be warned, it could be your last passing chance. But just look a little longer and a little further with me and consider briefly what we read in verse 19. And when he had gone a little further thence, here I believe we may note the important reminder. What do these words say to us? What do they show to us? If anything, two things. First of all, they speak of opportunity given. This we have clearly seen, I trust, from moving through this whole narrative. On his way past these men, Jesus spoke to them. He called them. Thus, these men had been given opportunity to respond, and they did. They did. But now, moving from opportunity given, let's see that there came the point when that opportunity was gone. The opportunity was not always going to be available to these men. How good these men responded as they did when they did. For any delay could have been that which would have brought such serious consequences. And this is something I have again and again sought to warn men and women of. But with what result in your life? As preacher after preacher has warned you and has made you aware of the fact, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And when I look at all of these things that we've looked at here, I believe all of this brings before us the reminder. That is, to those who persist to put this matter, as it were, on the back burner, that you will not always hear this call. You will not always hear this call. Indeed, there are many who live and no longer hear the Savior's voice when once, like you, they heard the call of the gospel. Once in tender years, they had heard it, but they didn't respond to it. To be left, yes, indeed, to lament the fact and to live in the knowledge that hell itself has opened wide to receive them. As I conclude tonight, let me tell you of a true story. A story, again, that I read many years ago of an old man. And a young man of about 17, 18 years of age came to him. He was concerned about his soul. And he shared that concern with the old man. And as they talked at length about this, the old man sought to answer the questions of the young man as best as he knew how. And then he came to the point where he said to this young man, he said, "Son, I urge you to come to Christ now. I implore you to give your life to Christ now." And he got quite upset and with a great sense of urgency creeping into his voice, which compelled the young man to say, "Sir, might I ask you, have you come to Christ?" And with the tears rolling down that old man's wrinkled face, he said to the young man, "No, son, I've never come to Christ. And I'll tell you why I urge you, I implore you, I plead earnestly with you to come to Christ when you hear God speak to you. Because when I was tender in years like you are now, I heard the call. I had similar concern for my soul as I see manifest in your life. But I refuse to respond. And do you know something, young man? I have never since those years heard the voice of God speak to me again. And I'm now 80 years plus." See, it's possible. It's possible. It's possible that Jesus is passing through this meeting, passing by the doorway of your life. He's stopping. He's looking into your life. He's speaking. He's calling into your life to come and to be a follower of His. And He's given you opportunity to respond. Yes, to respond by counting the cost and yet showing the readiness to leave all and to follow after Him. And graciously through His word, He reminds you that He's passing by again. He might never touch your life again. So in the words of the hymn writer, "Come burdened one, bring all your care. Jesus is passing by. The love that listens to your prayer will no good thing deny. Passing by, passing by. Hasten to meet Him on His way. Passing by, passing by. Jesus is passing today." If He is calling to you to follow Him, then you call out to Him for mercy while you've yet time. Will you pray with me, please? Father, we thank You that in the gospel You do both issue that call. And we thank You, Father, that it is a compelling call. It's certainly a challenging call. And Father, we simply ask that if You are speaking into someone's heart and life tonight, help them to realize that now is the time to respond to that gracious call to follow after Christ. Help someone tonight to do just that for Christ's sake.